you've probably heard that expression, faith is not a feeling. But we tend to believe, we tend to do that. We tend to like, if I feel good about something or it feels right, then I have faith and things will happen. And if I don't have this good feeling about what God is telling me to do, then I don't do it because maybe I'm at odds with God or something. You know, I'm doing something wrong here because I don't feel at peace with it. So we're relying on feelings rather than trust. Trusting in who God is. The only example I could really think of is like the trust between a married couple. Okay, so husband and wife. So when the husband goes, tells his wife, a bosparat. One of these weekends away where we're going to strategize and talk about the future of the company and strategize. It has to be on a weekend. And in the old days, remember, I'm from the old times, it used to be all white male. Very few females, no females probably. You all go away into the bush somewhere to a camp and we strategize. And it was usually over a bottle of brandies and beers and, you know, I'm not sure where the strategizing came in. I hated those sessions. I don't drink anyway. But it was an excuse. So you tell your wife you're going away for the weekend. Now your wife trusts you. She has faith in you, but she trusts you. And the trust will have different outcomes when I say trust. She could think, maybe I'm not really going away for a weekend with a company strategy because she doesn't work at the company, she doesn't know. So she will actually, her action then is to maybe phone a colleague's wife and just verify that there is something going on and I'm not just going away for a bad weekend, a naughty weekend or something like that. That's the level of trust. It's very low. So her actions are dictated by her level of trust in the husband. Okay. If on the other hand, she totally trusts her husband, never had a bad experience, you know, parents were all good and she's got good experience. So she really trusts her husband. She won't even bother. She'll just say, so what can I prepare for you? What do you need ready to take? You know, do you need the official Sasol t-shirt ready or whatever? I don't know. You know, she'll organize to support you to go and do what you need to do for that weekend. So trust or faith results in action. It has to result in action. Okay. If we go to James chapter 2, 15 to 17, the famous verses. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Faith by itself does not have works. It's dead. And he uses the word there in Greek, which means like a dead body, a cadaver. It's really dead. It's not that it is ineffectual or weak. It's dead. So faith without action, without results, is totally dead. It's not even worth looking at it. You know, a dead body smells. I don't know if you've ever walked past a dead cat or something in the bushes somewhere. You can't even see it. You can smell it as you walk past, as it's rotting. That's the word he's using. It's a rotting, dead, useless piece of meat. Yeah, okay. And as you read on through James there, he then says, even demons, what was the expression? Even demons acknowledge who God is, but they don't, their actions do not reflect their, yes, God exists, but their actions are totally opposite to what God wants. So they don't have that relationship, that faith, that trust in God. Okay. They're there to oppose. So just saying, I know God exists. I believe he exists is not enough. Your actions have to show your faith. Your trust has to result in the right actions so that you are doing what God wants you to do. Jesus gives the example of the two guys who built a house. We all know the story, how they built the house on the rock and the one built the house on the sand. Both of them heard Jesus' words. And yet the one chose to build on the rock of the word. The other one built on the sand, which represents the things of the world. And as soon as the storm came, the one crumbles and disintegrates, the other one stays firm. Both heard the same words, but their actions were different. So they were, their faith was different. The one didn't have faith. He didn't have trust. So he was building on earthly things, not on the word of God. Jesus also tells his disciples at one point, he says to them, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you to do. Okay. So how do we measure this faith thing? I wish I had an indicator or something on the side, that, you know, a little badge. Was it that badge we saw on YouTube? Had a little introvert thing, hey, for introverts. So it got a little gauge. So it's a badge, and then you can slide the thing up and down like, I've had enough now, please go away. So I wish I had something like that, but it's not. It's not the way it works. We have to go out and do things. And when we do these things, it's not based on the feeling, like Stefan shared. He was nervous about sharing God to the guy at SARS. Because maybe he thinks, like you said, maybe he thinks you're trying to manipulate him or find common ground and let's work our way around this, you know. But the faith is that you step out in obedience and you do it. When Abraham had to take God told him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain, I don't think Abraham was comfortable about it. And you could imagine taking your son and going off up the mountain to sacrifice him but he trusted God. God had said, you will be the father of many nations and that, okay? Through Isaac and that. So he trusted God, and in obedience he stepped out and took Isaac up the mountain, ready to sacrifice him, and God provided the ram there to be the sacrifice instead. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, you know in the story, the Egyptians are chasing them, the Israelites get to the Red Sea, and there's a lot of wailing and moaning and complaining because we're going to die now because the Egyptians are coming. They knew. They could see the cloud of dust in the distance. And yet Moses said to them, walk towards the sea. And they, in trust, because of Moses and because Moses trusted God, they walked towards the sea. And as they walked there, it parted and they crossed and they were safe. It was action again. Even though they were scared, even though they had fear, they took the right action. They obeyed God and walked through. And that's what faith is. It's not saying, I'm comfortable with this, or I need to pray until I feel confident about sharing the gospel. No. In your fear, step out and share the gospel. In your fear, step out and help somebody. In your reticence. I mean, we all have financial, what do you call it? Benchmarks. You know, I need a certain amount of money in my life. And then you see somebody in need and you'll say, well, I don't have money now. I can't help. I can't assist. We don't step out in faith. If God has told you to help those people, you do it. It doesn't matter what your bank balance is. You do it and trust God will provide. But we all have those different boundaries where we will go so far and not further. And we need to overcome that. We need to trust. We need to trust in God, yeah. So, let's have a look at Paul. Paul, Philippians 4, verse 13. This is a famous verse as well, and it gets used in so many wrong ways. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You'll see that in a lot of different places. You'll see that verse on t-shirts, mugs, you know, slogans at offices, sports people will quote it, you know, I can do all things through Christ. And it's interpreted as because I pray hard enough and because I trust in God, I can do anything. I can get promoted at work. I can do well at work. I can become the CEO. I can be the top sports person. I can do all things. I can do anything through Christ. And you may even have honest desires why you want to be the CEO. Maybe so you can lead the whole company to Christ. I don't know. But You know, but the point is you take that verse as a motivational tool and use it to say, I can do all things through Christ. But the emphasis there is, I think, more on the I and all things. So all things covers anything that you can think of that you want to do and achieve, even if you say you want to do it for God. The problem with that is, if you only look at that one verse, is when the things don't happen, when there is not healing, when there is not financial excess, when there is not success in the workplace, you've been putting your whole trust faith on that one verse, and now it's not happening. What happens? We start saying, well, God doesn't listen, he doesn't care, he doesn't exist, maybe. Or maybe I don't have enough faith. You know, so either it's God it's at fault, or it's me it's fault. I don't have enough faith. I need to pray harder. I need to do more scriptures. I need to do more Christian things to achieve what God has promised me in that verse. Because all things in Christ. Yeah. Like I have that strength. I can do it. So this, and then it becomes a discouragement. It becomes it's not happening the way I see it. So I start falling away. And I become a weak, ineffectual Christian through that, because it's all about I can do all things. Okay. But if we actually read the two verses before that, verses 11 and 12, it sets the context a lot better. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Not that I speak into regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Paul wrote this, he was sitting in prison, in a Roman prison, in chains. And prisons weren't comfortable in those days. They were places where you could actually go to prison, and while you're waiting for sentence, you could die from hunger or ill treatment. It was up to your friends to supply you with food and money for the guards to keep you alive and to keep you sustained in that period. It was not a nice place. And Paul was sitting there in chains, and he writes Philippians. He wrote a few other letters, but he wrote Philippians as well. And Philippians is about, he uses the word joy, apparently. I didn't count it. He uses the word joy 16 times in that very short letter to the Philippians. And Philippians, the church in Philippi, was also established when Paul was on his second missionary journey. I think it was his second one. And he had a vision that he should go to Macedonia. So he went to Macedonia, and on the way to Philippi, he met the slave Lydia at the river somewhere. And if I remember correctly, Lydia was demon-possessed, and she could prophesy the future, and she was making her slave owner very rich. And Paul and Silas got there, saw she was demon-possessed, so they cast the demon out. And the owners were not happy with this. So Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and he was in chains, and then there was that earthquake where the chains fell off and the gates opened, and the guards in that in Philippi acknowledged Christ is real. So it spread the gospel through Philippi. Philippi was a retirement village town. This is where retired legionaries and Roman soldiers went to live once they'd finished fighting in the wars. Once you'd done your years of service, you could retire in comfort, and a lot of them went to Philippi. But they were very loyal to Rome, to the emperor, etc. And now the Christians come along, and they are teaching that the only authority is God. It's not the Caesar, it's not the emperor, it's just God. So they're very patriotic. They are soldiers, they've been fighting. They're also not very nice people, I would think. We all have the picture of the army soldier, especially in those days, you were killing, and stealing and looting and pillaging, because that's how you made money. That was part of the job. You were allowed to pillage and loot and that, take slaves so that you could enrich yourself, but then you put your risk, your life on the line for the Romans, Caesar and that. Not nice people. And yet, the church started there. It was one of the first churches, early churches to start in Philippi. Okay. And Paul had a real soft spot for this church. So he was writing from in prison to a church that was started when he was in prison. And yet he talks about joy. Okay. And the secret that these verses hold is what Paul is saying is under all circumstances, the strength of God, strength of Christ carries me through it. So I don't look at my circumstances, whether I'm up or down, whether I'm financially struggling or financially well off, or if my marriage is not going very well, or if I'm unhealthy, we're getting old, you know, so that sort of thing, and we struggle. That is, according to Paul, irrelevant. What happens is that in all these things, in all these times, in all these events, he looks to Christ for his strength. He looks to God. He doesn't look to self. And he uses the word there, apparently, again in Greek, he uses the word that I don't know if you know the Stoics. It was a philosophy going around at that time. The Stoics were where you rely on self. You are strong because of yourself, your inner self, and you develop your character to handle things. It's called Stoicism. You know, you're just these people who nothing, everything goes wrong and they just hang in there. They have that inner strength. And that was what Stoicism taught. You needed to grow that. And Paul uses that same word. He says, I have this inner strength. I have it, but my source is not me. My source is God. My source is Christ. That's where my strength comes from. And that means that it won't let me down. And this is where the faith and trust comes in. You have to trust that God within you, in whatever circumstance you're in, will take you through it, will carry you through it. You will see the end of this time of suffering. You will see the end of... And Paul says he actually doesn't care about the suffering, because he says also in Philippians, if I was to die, because he didn't know if he's going to get out of prison, he could be either executed or released. And he says, well, if I'm executed, joy, because I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be with Jesus. And he says, if I'm released, not so much joy, but now I can spread the gospel. So there is joy in that. Okay. So it was just knowing who he is in Christ, who he is in God, what his relationship is, and having that trust that God is who he is. And I think we need to develop that trust as well. That doesn't matter what's happening around us. I mean, we probably all have a bit of fear about this June 30th thing that's been going around, that there's going to be a lot of violence and riots and stuff because of xenophobia or whatever. It's been hyped up or not hyped up, I don't know. But we need, when circumstances, we need to show that we have trust in God. God will see us through whatever happens. We need to be focused on God only, not focused on what things look like around us, which is why I said before, I need to stop complaining about the government. It's irrelevant. I need to pray for the government. I need to focus on what God is telling me to do, and not what I see and what I feel. Feelings have to come out of it a little bit, and we need to just trust. God will provide. God will see me through it. And I think there's a couple of barometers in our life that we can use to maybe measure this level of trust. Your prayer life. Go and look at how Paul prays in the Gospels. And then look at how maybe you pray. And I'm not saying we can't pray for ourselves, we can't pray for other people. But just look at your motives for the praying. Are you praying for God's strength in the situation maybe? Is maybe more applicable than praying for relief from the situation. There's a lot of examples in the Bible where people were suffering, and yet they didn't pray to be released from that suffering. They saw it as God's plan for them. I mean, we have Joseph in the pit and going a slave in Egypt, and that he saw the plan. Maybe not at the time. He was fearful and was confused and worried, but he relied on God in that. Jeremiah was thrown into a cesspit and left there. He also had to rely that God has a plan and that it's going to work out. So we need to look at our prayer life and say, well, how do I pray? Am I praying for the circumstance, or am I praying for me to get through the circumstance? When I pray for someone else, yes, it's nice to pray for them to be relieved from that situation. But maybe God wants us to pray for them to have the strength to get through that situation. Because that's how Paul says he learned. It wasn't overnight that he had this strength and faith. It was years of development. I mean, it took him, depending where you read, between 10 and 14 years from when he converted to when he started doing his missionary journeys. He had a lot of learning to do before he started writing letters and setting up churches and that. So we have to learn that process. And maybe people that we're praying for also need to learn in those situations that God is there. God is trusting God. Let him see you through the situation and not look for the easy fix. Because we like the easy fix. We're that generation. We like things to be easy. Solve it. Give it to us. Let's move on. Maybe you are having a struggle in the workplace. What is your prayer? Is your prayer for how can I as a Christian influence the workplace? Or is my prayer, get me out of this workplace? We need to listen to God. What is it? Maybe it is right that you get out of the workplace. God says you're not ready for it. So get out and move on. Fine. But maybe he's saying, no, you need to stick this out and you need to be that light in that place, in that workplace. I think another one is where we see our trust barometer is definitely in our finances. How do you do your monthly budget? It's always a controversial topic. How do you do your budget? Is it the Bible teaches about tithing, for example. Now, tithing in those days was 10% went to the temple, not for the building of the temple, not for the glorification and the gold things in the temple. That came from people who made donations to establish the temple and build it and make it look beautiful. The 10% was to go into the coffers so that they could give it to the needy. Okay, that's why the money went in. Yes, money is needed for the administration and running, but the prime purpose was to have the fund there available for the needy in the community who need funds. So I'm not saying you have to give your 10% to the church, but do you set aside money, and that's between you and God how much, do you set aside money so that you can help the needy? Or do you spend every cent you have, you know, like when you buy a new house, you do the calculation exactly so that we can just survive. Not say, okay, well, maybe we should buy a smaller house so that I have spare money. That's your priority on your finances. And it's trusting in God that even I'm not earning a lot, I'm not earning much, but yet I will trust you. I will set aside that 10% for the needy. So look at your life and look and see where do you struggle? Mine is actually sharing the gospel. I always hesitate. I always look after. I've told you before, I always look after and say, Don, I should have given the message there and I didn't. You know, I need to have that confidence to get it out and obey what God is telling you. I don't need to hear a voice from God saying, share the gospel. It's all the way through the New Testament. You have to go out there and share the gospel. So I don't need to hear God telling me to do that. I should just do it and get over my fear and get over my inner demons, whatever you want to call it, that stop me from sharing the gospel. I don't want to offend people. I don't want to blah, 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 blah. You know, you can make excuses. You need to get over it. So examine yourselves and just say, where are you not obeying? Where is your trust not good? You know, and then start to to have that faith, to trust in God and let Him exercise it. And I think I'm probably going to say this every Sunday. Do it. Let's get out there. Whatever it is, do it. Take that step. Know that there will be fear. There will be uncertainty in your life about it. But do it. If you're going to wait for that comfortable feeling, it's never going to happen. You're never going to exercise your faith. Amen. So, action. That is what faith is all about. And we can look at Paul, how he, doesn't matter what his circumstances were, he just trusted that God had a plan and that he would get through it. God is enough for me. God is sufficient. God strengthens me. Amen. Let me close off. Yes, Father, I think there are times when we do step out in because we trust you, and then Father God, we are so awed by what happens. We see how things work, and we like we heard from Stefan this morning, we heard how his problem was solved, Father God, because he stepped out in obedience. And Father God, I just ask that we learn, like Paul, just to, doesn't matter what the circumstances are, it doesn't matter how we feel or experience, we just need to have that trust in you, God, that you will come through, that you are always there for us. And Father, I just ask you to just give us that strength to exercise what we know we have to do, even if we don't have to hear from you right then and there. We know what we should be doing. And Father, let us just step out in faith and do what we're supposed to do. Amen.